I have a question. Are there any Hoovians here? Ah, there's one hand, two hands. Well, I'm not going to get you up to explain what this slide's all about, because we'd probably still be here half an hour later. But this is a picture of Doctor Who's time machine. Doctor Who can travel through time to different galaxies. He can go to the past, the future, all over the place. Now, unfortunately, we don't have one of those here at MPC. I believe they're pretty expensive. But what I'd like you to do is to imagine you're back a couple of thousand years ago and you're in the temple in Jerusalem and you're part of a ceremony that's taking place there as an elderly couple are having their son circumcised and named. Now, when you look at them, you think, well, obviously that's the grandparents that are holding the baby, but no, it's not. That child's a miracle. That's the first child for Zechariah and Elizabeth. Very, very old parents. There was no IVF. The only way they had that baby was by the hand of God. And the family and their friends are all gathered and they're wondering, looking at this amazing child. And we're told in verse 66 that everybody's asking, everybody all around Jerusalem, what then is this child going to be? And as Zechariah looks at this miracle son of his, he bursts into song. Now, it's an amazing song. I think if I was in his situation, I'd be praising God, saying, God, you've been so good to me. Here I am, an old man, and now I've got a son. Man, that's great. We've suffered so much reproach from everybody because being barren in those days was even worse than today. And we've suffered all that, and you've been great to us. Oh, it's terrific. I'm looking forward. Now I've got an heir. I'm looking forward to all the things you've got for us in the future. Thanks, God. You've been a great God. Terrific. Thank you so much. But it doesn't do that. Instead, he bursts into what is headed Zechariah's song, sometimes his prophecy song in some versions. But he, filled with the Holy Spirit, we're told in verse 67, prophesies. Which means that it's God's just speaking through him. God's using him as his instrument. And this amazing song is a song that God is moving him to sing for him and for us. He sings a song of redemption, a song praising God for his plan of salvation for his people, a plan that's coming to fruition. And this song, he sings in kind of three parts. The first part, he praises God in verses 68 and 69. To fulfill his plan of salvation. He's come to redeem his people. Look at verse 68. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. This miracle baby is part of God's redemption plan. What's it mean to redeem? Not that. If you've ever bought a house under mortgage, you don't own it, the bank owns it, and you redeem it when you pay your mortgage, and then it's yours. If you've ever been into the CBD, is that me doing that? If you've ever been to the CBD and you found a great parking spot for your car, and you didn't notice a little sign that said tow away area, you come back to redeem your car, you'll pay big time. Redemption is paying something really to get back what's really yours. God has a plan to redeem his people. And redemption costs. It always costs. It's like taxes, you can't avoid it. And Zechariah is saying, God has come to his people and he has redeemed them. He's speaking as if it's already all done and dusted. It's finished, already accomplished. That's because nothing can stop God's plan. Once God's got a plan in place, no way can that be stopped. And he turns then to how God's going to do this. Raised up in verse 69, a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. The one who's going to do this, this strong hand of salvation, this horn of salvation, is from King David's line. And as predicted throughout the Old Testament, he's saying Messiah has come. Redemption has started. God's plan now is underway and it's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be completed. Zechariah's got a bit of inside running on this, I reckon, because he knows that there's a baby in the womb of Elizabeth, his wife's cousin, Mary. Doug spoke about Mary's song last week. She's a descendant of David. When she visited Elizabeth, you may remember, the baby leapt in her womb. We just flick back a few verses. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she says, "But why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The plan has started and it will be completed. It can be said he has redeemed his people. The Messiah has come. He's here on earth. He's here with us in the present. And Zechariah is praising God because redemption has come. Jesus, is it that bipper? Maybe I'm touching that, swinging that around too much. God is the Lord of the present. He's present here today to come into our lives, to redeem us, so that we can sing a song of redemption. God wants each one of us to be redeemed. That's part of his plan. And when we know God as the Lord of the present, we'll praise him, just as Zechariah has in his song. The second part of his song, he praises the Lord as the Lord of the past. Just checking. The song jumps from the present to the past. And in so many ways, the past is the key to our future. The past is so important. And Zechariah brings that into focus. And he raises two important aspects of their past. Two key little three words together in a couple of places. Firstly, you notice in verse 70, he spoke through his holy prophets. God spoke through his holy prophets in the past. And if you look in verses 70 to 72, he's talking about there how he saved them from hateful enemies, from those who hated them, how he showed mercy. The prophets of God, throughout their history, when they were under threat from an enemy, would call the people back and say, "What are you doing? Turn to God. Trust God. Don't rely on how many horses we've got or weapons we've got. Trust God." The prophets were the ones, his holy prophets. And so Zechariah's praising God, how his holy prophets were used by him throughout the centuries of their history. And the other key three words is in verse 72. He showed mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. His holy covenant. God did not forget his holy covenant throughout all those centuries where they had enemies trying to wipe them out and destroy them. God had made a covenant, a pact with Abraham. He promised Abraham under oath that he would have descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky. He took him out there and said, "Look at it all. So shall your descendants be." And he interestingly gave the sign of the covenant, of circumcision as a sign of that covenant. And here's this family gathered for a circumcision. So there's significance in that, I think, remembering the covenant and what they're there about. And just like Zechariah and Elizabeth, believe it or not, Abraham and Sarah were way beyond the age of having children when they eventually had their son Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. He was renamed by God Israel. Israel had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes that were the formation of the great nation of Israel. More than you could number, not that quite the number of stars, but on the way. And Zechariah is praising God because God doesn't forget his covenant. And they shouldn't forget it either. And we shouldn't forget it either. He would deliver and save his people from their enemies. And he did that, we're told in verse 74-75, to rescue them, to enable them to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. God wanted his people to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. Now, the Old Testament is a large part of our Bible, isn't it? The majority of our Bible is actually made up of the Old Testament. And that contains, by and large, the history of those people of God, the ancient people of Israel. God preserving his people from their enemies out to try and destroy them. Not once, but many, many times. Not just over 12 months, but over centuries. We've got this record of God's faithfulness in the history of his people. Just think of what happened when they were slaves in Egypt. How did they get out of there? God delivered them. Think of when they were to take the promised land. How did they take it? Joshua was raised up, led them in, drove out the people, and they took their land. What happened in the time of Judges when they're under threat? Fearful, how are they going to defend their land? Who did he raise up at one point? Gideon. What did he do? He just defeated an army when it was outnumbered 300-1. Who was with him to do that? Surely it must have been God. God protected him. King David established the kingdom. Firm borders. A rich and wonderful country. God blessed them so much and protected them. You think, oh, what a wonderful story. Then what happened? They turned from God. The whole country was destroyed. Jerusalem was razed to the ground. The temple was destroyed and they were carted off into exile in Assyria and Babylon. You think, well, that's the end of the story. Once that happens in a nation, they're all carted away like that. That's it. Done and dusted, finished, all over. But no, it wasn't. God brought them back. They returned, rebuilt, and there they are in that rebuilt temple. Zechariah, Elizabeth, their family, to circumcise this little baby John. All that predicted by the prophets, protected by the covenant, and throughout the Old Testament, the promise of a Messiah to enable his people to serve him in holiness and righteousness. We're beneficiaries of that history. The Apostle Paul says, by faith we are children of Abraham. Their history is our history. That history is soil for our faith in which to grow and see the faithfulness of God. Zechariah is praising God for the salvation of his people in the past, over centuries and centuries. God has broken into history many times to save his people miraculously. And this song of redemption is all about God's mercy and faithfulness to redeem his people. He wants us to trust him now because of what he's done in the past. See his hand of faithfulness. And when we know God is Lord of the past, we'll praise him like Zechariah has. The third and final part of this song in verses 76-80 starts with as he praises God for being Lord of the future. Eventually, Zechariah looks down on his son and sees his destiny, his major role in the redemption history of God's people. He'd be a prophet of God Most High. He'd go before the Lord to prepare the way for the Lord. He'd give knowledge of salvation and forgiveness. It's all there in verses 76 and 77. And that's what happened. If we'd look into Mark's gospel, he summarises John the Baptist's ministry, for that was Zechariah's son. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptised by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptise you with water. He will baptise you with the Holy Spirit. Certainly prepared the way for Jesus' ministry when you think of it, didn't he? Preaching, talking about repentance, talking about forgiveness of sins, talking about the need for baptism, pointing people to Jesus. Jesus the Messiah, the one who would baptise with the Holy Spirit. Well could he say to some of them, look, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world, pointing to Jesus, preparing the way for the Lord of the future. It's exactly what John did. In verse 80, we're told how he grew, became strong, lived in the wilderness until he appeared publicly in Israel to exercise exactly that ministry. And Zechariah looks at this little infant, and as God speaks through him, he sees this destiny for him. And at this point in the song, Zechariah moves from his son to Jesus the Messiah, the focus of the song. Diane said to me this morning, she'd read the passage and she said, oh, it's a song about, it's about John. I said, no, it's not about Jesus. It's a song about Jesus the Messiah. Described in these verses as the sun rising from heaven, sent by the tender mercy of God in verse 78. I've seen a few sunrises in my day. I've never seen the sun come down out of heaven. Never once. Have you? I've never seen it. It comes up out the earth, comes up out the sea. And I think what God's doing through Zechariah is trying to give us a bit of a heavenly perspective. This is something incredible that's happening here. It isn't natural. The Messiah has come from heaven and is in the womb of Mary. A supernatural event. Remember the words of the angel to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Jesus comes from heaven to shine light into the darkness of the human soul. To shine light into the darkness of death. To take us out of darkness, guiding us in the path of peace. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This redemption he's singing about is the salvation of our souls. It's about us being delivered from living in spiritual darkness and fear of death. It's about delivering us from a life without direction or hope. It's about taking us from the realm of fear into a realm of peace. It's about making peace with God through Jesus the Messiah, sent from heaven to save and to redeem us. Jesus is the one who redeems us, who pays the price of our salvation and our redemption. He left the light and the peace of heaven for a place of darkness, sin and death, and to die upon a cross. And he did it so you and I could be saved and redeemed. That's what saves us. what Jesus has done upon the cross. That's knowledge of salvation. That's forgiveness of sin. That's living in the light. That's peace with God. That's experiencing God's tender mercy, love, and grace. And it means we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness. For he gives us his righteousness as he takes our sin. For Zechariah, that was all in the future, but he saw it as God spoke through him. God revealed it to him, filled him with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, and he sang a song of redemption to his guests at the circumcision and to us. God's redemption is so worth singing about. And lots of the carols that we sing about it. It's great. Our present and our future are secure because what happened in the past. Jesus was born. He did live. He did die. He did rise again. And once we know this, once we trust Jesus as our Saviour, we're redeemed. We're saved. The redemption song is ours to sing, to praise God, because we know him as the Lord of the future. Yeah. Zechariah's song is a song of redemption. It's all about Jesus, the Redeemer. Jesus who takes our sin and gives us his righteousness. Jesus, the Lord of the present, the past and the future. I'd ask you to consider for a moment this song of redemption. Consider God's tender mercy towards you. Consider what it's like to be living in light with no shadow of death. Consider giving your life to Christ to transform, renew, and change you. Consider Christ this Christmas so you too can sing a song of redemption.